The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
I'm excited and honored to have Arn Sinadella here again with us from Spark Investment Group today. Arn, thanks for joining us again. How are you?
Hey, great. Great to be here. Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have you back. Just in case people didn't catch the last episode, we'd love to get everyone caught up. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into real estate, where you're from, and the type of investments you find yourself in today.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Silicon Valley on the San Francisco Peninsula, San Carlos, Menlo Park, Palo Alto, California, and got into the real estate business at the age of 22. I'm now 66, so I think that's 42, 43, 44 years I've been in real estate. And for most of my brokerage and investing career, I've invested in single family rentals. 2014, made a relocation, kind of a lifestyle transition, moved to Greenville, South Carolina, continued investing in single family homes. And right about the time COVID hit, decided to move into multifamily investing. And so I've spent the last year moving a lot of my portfolio from single family rentals into multifamily and helping other investors do the same. So longtime real estate guy, kind of new to multifamily and excited to learn a new part of the business.
Perfect. Well, again, thank you for coming on. I would imagine with such a successful and long career, it hasn't been always easy. It hasn't always been something where you're just able to knock everything out of the park every time. What kind of experience comes to mind that our audience could maybe learn from where it wasn't that way, where it maybe was a little bit more troubling?
Sure. I'd be glad to share a few difficult stories. Often they're funny and humorous, and you try to learn from them as you go. So maybe about 6 months ago, I posted something in a local real estate Facebook group, and I simply said, looking to buy some multifamily in the Greenville-Spartanburg area. And about 2 hours later, somebody calls me up and goes, "Hey, Arn, you don't know me, but I'm a wholesaler and I got something you may be interested in." And I go, "Oh, yeah." I go, "If I am, I'll be your best friend forever." Because as we know, finding multifamily deals that make sense can be difficult. So anyway, the property was in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which is about 45 minutes from me. Property happened to be located in a neighborhood that I own a duplex in already and like the neighborhood. It's probably my favorite neighborhood in Spartanburg. So now this is a wholesale deal, so I'm dealing with the wholesaler. I don't have any direct contact with the seller. And as wonderful it was that the wholesaler brought me the deal, the truth is the fact that the wholesaler was between the seller and I did cause some difficulties during the course of the transaction. And that's kind of what I'll focus on in terms of the problems that then ensued. So it was in an area I knew. In fact, I'd driven by that property 2-3 years ago and went, "Oh, that's a nice property. I'd like to own it." And as fate would have it, he's the one who had it under contract 3 years later. So I kind of knew the property. Nice units, good bones, great area. And so bottom line, I pretty much wanted it. Made arrangements to meet with the wholesaler, walked through one of the units, quickly entered in a contract with the wholesaler. And of course, the contract with the wholesaler is typically like a one-page form. This is the price. This is the deposit. This is when you close. And you don't necessarily see the underlying contract between the seller and the wholesaler. And most wholesale deals involve houses. And say in the Greenville area, fixer-uppers might range from $75,000 to $125,000. They're usually cash deals. Bing, bang, you close in 7 days, no big deal. So, of course, multifamily acquisitions, there's much more to go through. You have the leases. It was a $1 million property. I didn't have $1 million, so I needed to finance it. Okay, I know, woe is me, but that's how it goes. So it was difficult through the course of the transaction to get the kind of financial documentation one normally gets in a multifamily transaction. If you buy an apartment building through a broker, they kind of know what the procedure is. They're going to give you the rent roll, the T12, all the leases, income expense, and you have due diligence typically like 30 days. Okay, wholesale deal, no due diligence. So I had a very difficult time through the course of the transaction of getting the documents that I would normally get. It was okay. I got enough information. I knew what I needed to do. Ultimately, we were able to get in all 12 of the units to do a quick walkthrough. Well, to back up, when I entered into contract with the wholesaler, I said, hey, I'm only going to have to get in the property twice. Once to look at the 12 units and second time to get my appraiser in the property. Yeah, no problem. Okay, of course, that wasn't in the wholesale contract. So anyway, it also turns out there were four family members that owned, four or five that owned this property, elderly folks that had owned it for a long time. Well, it turned out one of them was kind of on the outs with the other. And the one who was on the outs, their son was the property manager who had to give us access. So I'm trying to paint a picture here. So walk through, everything's good. We're going ahead. So then I call the wholesaler and go, okay, I need to get my appraiser in the property. And he goes, sure, let me talk to the property manager. Wholesaler calls me back and goes, no, the property manager won't let your appraiser in the property. And, you know, number one, they thought it was a cash deal. The sellers thought it was a cash deal. Wholesalers usually presented as a cash deal. So they were adamant, can't get into the property. Sorry, we're not going to let you in. Okay, well, I need to get a loan. I've got non-refundable money up. And I can't get my appraiser in the property. How am I going to get a loan? So fortunately, I was working with Greenville Federal Credit Union, a local credit union that I had borrowed from before and had an existing relationship with. And I prevailed upon them, or they agreed to do an exterior appraisal only. I gave them all the pictures I took of the interiors when I did it. So we worked it out. So it's not a total disaster. I closed it. We own it. Everything's good. But the mistake was not getting the access requirements in writing so that I would have prevented that whole problem of gaining access for the appraiser would have been prevented. It all worked out. But trust me, at one point, I thought the deal was dead and there was a lot of aggravation and kind of conflict between the parties involved. The four owners who wanted to sell the property, the one who was dragging their feet. So in retrospect, should have been more careful with the contract with the wholesaler, and that may have prevented some of the problems.
Sure. Well, and I heard it something else that we keep hearing in many of our episodes, which is, you know, having the relationship with the bank obviously helped and worked out in your favor. So relationships. For somebody that finds themselves working with a wholesaler or potentially going to work with a wholesaler, you mentioned getting everything in writing up front. What other types of advice would you give somebody if they're presented with an opportunity to work with a wholesaler, whether it's the first time or maybe even multiple times down the road, thinking through what you had to go through? What other kinds of things should they be thinking about?
Yeah, it's a difficult question because by the nature of the wholesale type transaction, it's just kind of a different animal. It's a different genre of transaction because you don't have direct contact with the seller. And typically, the wholesaler may not be quite 100% transparent with the seller as to what's going on. You know, they're presented as I'm buying the property and they're really trying to sell the contract to the next guy. And so I think that causes some inherent problems. So I don't know that I have any great advice. I would just say on my first deal or two, getting my feet wet in this, I would probably not go through a wholesaler. I just don't think it gives you proper time to evaluate everything and work out your financing. I think once you get a little more experienced, and if you're working in an area with the type property you know and you've done before, then I think there's some good opportunities. And it's not that I'm down on wholesalers. I'm not. They work hard to locate properties. And if they can bring me a property that makes sense to me to invest, I don't care that they made a profit. They earned the profit, right? And so it's not that I'm down on wholesalers. It's just, it's almost akin to buying a property at a foreclosure sale. If you're a newbie, do not buy a property at a foreclosure sale. You're number one, you're up against guys who do it for a living or gals, and you don't have any chance to look at the property. You're kind of bidding sight unseen. It's just not something that the newbie needs to get involved in. So I think that's my best advice, though I don't have a great answer for you.
No, I think that's really good and honest advice is, you know, if you find yourself, if you're new to the game, you're getting into multifamily, if you don't have years and decades of experience just in real estate itself, that's going to be an even bigger challenge, more so than just getting and closing your first deal by itself, which is an incredible challenge. Adding into the mix a wholesale situation, which is not your quote standard real estate transaction, adds a level of complexity that you probably or maybe don't need to take on in your first opportunity. Maybe it's worth waiting to find a different opportunity for you to make your first investment. I think that's incredibly honest and good advice. That's what we're here for, right? Is that kind of thing, and to draw from that experience.
Yeah, I agree totally. And you make a focus on relationships. And maybe one of the people I didn't list in my initial go round was a lender relationship. And at the end of the day, you need a lender you can count on to deliver. And just as a side piece of advice, money is a commodity. Everybody has access to the same money. So if you see a lender that's well below what everybody else is quoting, I'd be a little skeptical. So for me, the reliability of the funding is more important to me than saving an eighth of a percent on the rate, right? Because if you find a property you want to buy, at the end of the day, whether your rate is 3.5 or 3.65 probably isn't going to make a difference. And this is a guy who paid 11 and three quarters for his first mortgage. So three something looks awfully good.
Right. It's all perspective, right?
It's all relative. Yes, sirree.
Well, Arn, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time. I think that's as good a spot as ever to wrap up. And for our audience, thank you for coming on and giving us some perspective and from your experience, helping us out. For those that maybe do want to catch up with you, look up and see the stuff that you're putting out there, where can folks find you at?
Best place would be to find Spark Investment Group. I'm on Facebook or LinkedIn. Website is investwithspark.com. And my email would be arn@investwithspark.com. So reach out, glad to help. Real estate investing is great. And I'd encourage everyone to kind of get started, do it in a prudent way, get educated, like listening to podcasts like this, but get in the game, make a few investments. And trust me, you'll be happy with those investments a few years down the road.
Perfect. Well, again, Arn, thank you so much for your time and all the experience and knowledge you've bestowed upon us and our guests today. And we'll catch everyone next time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.